Well, the thought was being home might bring a different result than last night in Toronto, but the end result is the same tonight. A loss for the Nets, 90-82 to the Detroit Pistons. Hi, everybody. Bob Lorenz back here in our Meadowlands studio for another edition of the Nissan Post Game Show. Once again, the final score, 90-82. The Nets in this, as they were against the Raptors last night for quite a while, but the Pistons pulling away in the end. Nenad Krstić, though, if you're looking for some kind of silver lining, a season-high 27 points on 9 of 17 shooting. The flip side of that, Vince Carter, second straight night that he has struggled shooting 5 of 21. As for the Pistons, only two scores in double figures, but they did it up big time. Billups with 27 and Rip Hamilton with 26. Now let's take a look at the Nets the past couple nights against Toronto last night and then tonight. Scoring just above the 80 mark tonight, but again, the field goal shooting way down, under 40% tonight, even worse than last night. Free throws, they were a little better, and the assists were up. But on back-to-backs now, which they played over the past couple nights, Nets now just 1-3 in the second game of back-to-back sets. A little better game overall tonight for the Nets, but the end result the same as it was last night against Toronto. Let's go courtside now. Marv Albert and Jim Sponarkle. And guys, you know, what's interesting about it is, for as much as they were in it tonight, the field goal percentage from the field was actually worse, and the problems for Vince Carter tonight continued, Marv.
Vince Carter is really struggling, and again, and it was surprising to me because we talked with Lawrence Frank earlier tonight, and you had the feeling that he was being urged, Vince, that is, to take it to the rim, and he comes out, is what he's trying to say, firing from three-point range.
He did it again, and I think there are two things there. I think there, number one, is the shot selection is questionable at this particular point. You take a look at the numbers that Vince has put up in the last two nights. Obviously, you're not great, you know, and you got to struggle, and you got to start to think, you know, why are you not going towards the basket, going to the blocks also. But I think more importantly, too, I think the Pistons had a pretty good set for him defensively. You know, they're starting to push people out on the floor. Last night, Mo Pete, when we talked to him after the game, mentioned the same thing. Coming into the game, they're trying to get Vince to stay away as far as he possibly can. Vince has to understand that now that most teams are going to do that, albeit he did shoot the ball well in the previous two games with the threes.
But I thought tonight's game just turned around with the aggressive play of the Piston big man. Dale Davis was sensational and got a lot of playing time tonight, as did the second-year man out of the University of Cincinnati, Jason Maxiel.
They did, and surprising. I mean, going into this game, you know, truth be told, would you have picked those two guys off the lineup, the roster, and said they're going to be impact players?
I would have.
You probably would have.
I said it's going to come down to Davis and Maxiel. I mentioned that to Bob earlier, actually.
A few minutes after the game, it's easy to pick that out, I guess, but it worked. But they were. They were impact players. They were blocking shots. But I thought just as much and as important was the way they were knocking people all over the place. Here's Maxiel going down the floor, finishing up with a layup, carrying his body around. And then the big, big-time jam. And I think that set a tempo for them down low. And he continues to bang and block people out from getting close to the basket. And Davis did the same thing.
A look at the overall stat picture. And Detroit picked up their shooting in the second half. And they finish it at 45%. And how about the combination of Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton? We talked about them at the start of the telecast. That would be the toughest matchup for the Nets, right. And they were both terrific.
Well, from a basketball perspective, they did not disappoint. 20 for 29 from the floor when you combine their stats, but I just think the efficiency is what you really look at. And when they needed it down the stretch, we pinpointed Hamilton coming off that screen for a big bucket at 82-82. That's why they jockey, Marv, to get their guys on the floor with 5 minutes left, because Flip Saunders is basically putting them in a position to win basketball games because of their experience.
But I thought it was surprising that Flip stayed with his bench as long as he did, and we have not seen that in the past. Just about everybody got a pretty good run.
I think if this game got out of hand on the downside, if the Nets took an 8-point lead, for example, I think you would have seen that shorten, and that bench would have shortened. But the fact that it was a close game most of the way, he had the luxury of using those guys, and they didn't do badly, especially with the guys we just talked about, Davis and Maxiel doing a nice job.
And for the Nets, coming up on Monday, it is game two of a 4-game homestand. And, you know, you say, well, they're home. As you take a look at the rest of this stand, you got Golden State playing decent basketball. They're 12-12 coming into tonight. Then LeBron and the Cavs, and then the Lakers, and then the Nets do go on the road to play at Milwaukee, and then another game with Detroit. It is a very difficult schedule, particularly for a team that right now it's hard to figure out what is going on here. They heard the boos at the end of the game because, once again, They lost. They had an opportunity. The game was tied in the final minutes, but the experience and Detroit, the better team, and more accustomed to playing in this type of situation, able you go to Hamilton, you go to Billups, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, and I think the boos probably came from more of the people who are really knowledgeable of what was going on, and I think they recognized that down in the last 90 seconds, the Nets really did not get many good shots and many good looks, and then they flipped down the other end of the floor, and the Pistons are executing. So I think the more knowledgeable ones might have picked up on that. And you're right about the schedule, just jumping to that. I think the fact that this team is searching for an identity still in the last couple of nights in particular, that makes that schedule that we just looked at even more difficult.
And, Bob, it is a sweep for the guys from the Motor City this afternoon. As you know, the Red Wings right. knocked off the Devils, and tonight it's the Pistons over the Nets.
You guys didn't see any patches of ice out there on the floor. That couldn't have led to the poor shooting.
Actually, Jim went flying as we were rehearsing earlier. I believe he's
my feet
up.
Are cold, though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that Spinarkle bounces back, though, Marv. He bounces back every time.
Thank you, Bob.
2 out of 3, I five.
Yeah. All right, guys, have a great night.
You too, Bob. Nice. Thank you.
Right. Here are your final stats for the evening. Again, a sub 40% shooting night, 37.2, even worse than last night's 39%. The three-point shots, they were heaving them up. Look at the comparison. They shot 21 in comparison to the Pistons, just 10, but the Nets only making 6 out of 21. And this is a curious little stat. Each of the team with 22 assists, Jay Kidd had 8 of those, but he had none in the second half. So the Nets really struggling there in the second half and down the stretch to find a good shot, which they did not get, falling 90-82. A few moments ago, Richard Jefferson talked to Michelle Beadle and the rest of the media about tonight's game, his first game back after missing last night with a sore right ankle.
I feel fine. I'm a lot better than the last game, but, you know, good enough to play. Got off to a good start. Couldn't really hit a shot towards or late in the game, but it was a tough one tonight.
What do you think was the problem late or throughout the game?
I wouldn't even say throughout the game. They're a good team, you know, and I think it was tied going into the fourth quarter. I don't know if there's, they make plays the last 2 minutes of a game, and all of a sudden you start looking at first and second and third quarter like, you know what, they're a competitive team, they're a good team, and it was back and forth. And we went right down to it. They made plays in the last 2 minutes of a tied ball game, and we didn't, and that was really the difference. All right.
Cool. Was it frustrating? I mean, you guys were driving and beginning to the line early. Was it frustrating when you saw some of the ones in the fourth quarter where you can't?
Well, you know, I'm by no means would I ever criticize the officials. It's just, you know, you're at home, you know, two teams that have been in the playoffs the last 5-6 years, you know, going at it, and it seems that, you know, there was some tough calls that could go either way. I think, you know, we got down, 6 or 7-1. Early in the fourth quarter. Now that's tough. You're playing against a talented team, and they're in the bonus with, you know, 8 minutes to go, and you know you don't get to the bonus. I don't even know if we shot any free throws in the fourth. That's tough, especially when you know primarily you're not hitting shots, so you want to drive, you want to be aggressive, and you know you didn't get the benefit of the doubt of the calls. But you know, I think honestly that's what happens when you know you're a struggling team. When you're a struggling team in the fourth quarter, and you need a little help or you need the benefit of the doubt, you don't get that. Those are calls that I understand. You know, I've been on teams that were, you know, below 500. I've been on teams that were 15 games above 500, and we're getting those calls. So, you know, that's what happens, and you got to pull yourself out, and you can't really look for help from whether it's referees or anybody else.
Do you feel like when Jason hit that three to tie it that you were maybe on?
No, I was confident throughout the entire game. You know, before that, after that, my confidence never swayed. That was a big shot for him. Curley, you know, really did a great job tonight. Every time we drove, you know, he was right behind those bigs because they always collapse on him. And, you know, Curley had about 5 or 6 just easy lay-ins, you know, just because he was in the right spot tonight. But, you know, my confidence never swayed. I don't think our team confidence swayed until, you know, the last minute or two when we, you know, made a couple mistakes.
All right, so that's Richard Jefferson. He had 11 points tonight, only 2 in the second half. Of course, Vince Carter, second straight night. He struggled, 4 of 17 from the field last night and 5 of 21 tonight. Here's Vince.
What do you mean what happened?
Yeah,
you know, just didn't get the benefit of the calls. On the steals, they, you know, went down and scored. We couldn't put the ball in the basket, and you know, their transition baskets late really hurt us.
You surprised? You guys have been You're getting to the line earlier in the game. Are you surprised at the tenor of it, how it just changed in the fourth quarter? Couldn't get a call?
It's just tough. You know, the goal is just to be aggressive and put the pressure on the referee to make the call, you know, and you have to live with that. So, you know, I felt we were aggressive and, you know, they were just doing a good job of just not really letting us put the ball in the basket. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, we were just trying to attack and just get there and get to the line, try to get some basket with the clock stop to set up our defense.
Two straight games, you know, a little bit subpar offensive for you. Is it just something for you finding your rhythm again? Or
yeah, I'll be okay. Not worried about it. You know, it's about getting wins, you know. Just want to be consistent. You know, it just hasn't gone for me these last two games, but, you know, there's plenty more games to play, so I'll just put this behind me.
Was it a little more surprising because Jason hits that three and you feel like you have some of the momentum going there in the last?
I mean, that was a big momentum three. Really put us back where we wanted to be, and, you know, we thought we were going uphill from there. You know, we were in a position where now the game's tied. It can go either way. And we were, like I said, we were right there. It's just, you know, a lot of unfortunate things happened to us and couldn't recover.
It's not surprising that Chauncey and Rip stepped up and made a couple of big plays too, I guess.
Yeah. You know, they hit shots, you know, got to the line, got some easy baskets in transition, especially late. You know, really sealed the game for them.
Hey, Vince, I saw late in the game you guarded Maxiel a couple times in the post. What did you guys know about him coming? Did he take you guys by surprise at all? He was pretty
surprised.
Strong.
I mean, strong. Yeah. Can jump pretty high. You know, he just wanted to, you know, he did a good job. I mean, he was very active on both ends of the floor. Rebounding, blocking shots, just being around the basket, tipping balls, whatever. So he was definitely an asset for him tonight with Rashid up.
And then do you notice different people talk about this team, what kind of drop-off they would have without Ben Wallace. Did you notice a big difference in their defensively?
I don't care. We didn't win, so that's all that matters. Be honest with you. They or not, you know, that's their team. That's where it's going to be. We have to find a way to win.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, so you heard Vince answering several questions about his shooting woes the past couple nights, just 5 of 21 tonight. You know, this is the curious thing. As you look at the three-pointers that he made over the past couple games, just 2 of 15 against Toronto and Detroit combined. But remember, he was lights out from three-point range. In the games prior to that, 15 of 31 from three-point range. Now, on the flip side tonight, Nenad Krstić had his best game of the season, a season-high 27 points. In fact, he shot a little better than 50% from the field as he went 9 of 17. Also, a perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And a few moments ago, Michelle Beadle talked to Krstić about tonight's ball game.
I feel good in the game. Just when your team lost, it doesn't feel good. So it doesn't matter if I scored 27 or 2 points, we lost. So.
Well, how important was it to try to capitalize on Rashid Wallace not being in tonight's game?
It was their bigs very good. You know, they're very good players. So without Rashid, they're still pretty good. So we just tried to be aggressive.
Did you feel like it got more and more physical as the game went on, especially down the stretch in the fourth?
Yeah. But you know, I need to get through and can't let that bother me my game. You know, so just need to get through and just think positive and play my game.
All right, well, we saw Krstić scoring 27. Meantime, that's exactly what Chauncey Billups did. While he was complimented by that and the 26 scored by Richard Hamilton, Billups almost perfect from the field, 11 of 15. He also added 11 assists. Now, a few moments ago, Richard Hamilton talked about getting this latest win. A very well-rested team for the Pistons this week. This was only their second game of the week.
Just stay within the offense, you know. I didn't want to get over-aggressive, you know, try to force stuff and stuff like that. You know, I just wanted to, you know, stay poised. The guys did a great job giving the ball where I can score.
Can you talk about play? It's tied 82. You come off the baseline screen, and is something you run all the time?
Yeah, we kind of run it, you know, especially in crunch time. You know, I just wanted to gather myself and try to make a play at the basket, you know, because I know they was in a penalty.
Got your power time.
For sure.
Hey, Rip, I have a quick question. When you see like Vince Carter struggling like he was tonight, how big a deal is it for you guys to cash in on something like that?
Well, we didn't know. You know, Vince is a great player that can make shots at any point in time of the game, so we never really looked at it.
And we talked before the game about Rashid not being in, but then your bigs came through in a big way. Can you talk a little bit about their performance tonight?
They did a great job. You know, the bigs played well. Maxio did a great job. Dale Davis did a great job coming off the bench and getting a win.
And with that, time's up on the Nissan Post Game. Make sure you come back with us on Monday night when the Nets host Baron Davis and the Golden State Warriors. Our pregame show begins at 7 o'clock with tip-off time coming at 7:30 and complete coverage after the final buzzer. So for Marv Albert, Jim Sponarkle, Michelle Beadle, and the rest of our YES Network team, I'm Bob Lorenz. Have a great night. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care.